We're going to make some resolutions this year, because even as God worked with David, He's going to work with us. And sometimes when the door slams, don't be so quick to get upset, bellyache, gossip, bemoan, and grumble, because we must make a resolution. And here it is. Would you write it down? Number one, this is better than losing weight. Let me tell you, here it is. Would you write it down? I will look at every adversity and search for God's greater plans.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, a message given by Pastor Wayne at the beginning of a new year a while back, a message entitled Four Resolutions. And no, it has nothing to do with hitting the gym and dropping a few pounds, although that might not be a bad idea, just saying. Well, here he is with part one of a message entitled Four Resolutions.
Hey, today we're going to be talking about the process that God puts us through and the purpose that God has for us. The process and the purpose of God. They're two different things. We're going to mix them up, where we're really wanting the process to be nice and kind to us, but there's a purpose. And if you catch this, it will drive out regrets from your life. We're going to make some resolutions today. It'll be better than losing weight. Watch. You'll love it. Well, sometimes when we talk about the process, we get so transfixed on our immediate goals and wanting to get this all done that we're not happy until it finally comes to pass in the way we want it to come to pass. And we're really concerned about that. We don't want things to get messed up. So we put God in a box. We tell Him what to do, when to do it, with whom to do it, and we got it all figured out. But our problem is if the only time we're happy is when things turn out the way we expected them to turn out, then we have really set ourselves up for a disappointment. Because often, God has a different plan. Did you know that God's ways are not our ways? Doesn't matter how much you plan it. I don't care if you write it down. Sometimes God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And in fact, His ways are better than our ways. Because God can see around the corners. He can see the detours. He can see the obstacles. He can see the enemy at work. And He can see His purpose that must come to pass. God has a purpose for your life. How many of you believe that? Yeah, it may not be able to be seen so quickly. And in the midst of adversity, He still has, in the midst of crisis, He still has a purpose. Although it'd be more than the eye can see, God has a purpose. I like to share funny stories, and this story is about a preacher who'd been preaching for 30 years at a little small congregation, faithful to preach there. He dies and goes to heaven, and God shows him His mansion, and it's a little teeny broken down shack. And so this preacher goes, whoa, wait a minute, I've been preaching faithfully for 30 years and I get this shack. And then he looks across the fence and there's this massive castle. Like 15,000 square foot mansion with flags flying, servants running around, pools, swimming pools everywhere. And he says, well, whose is this? Whose mansion is this? He says, oh, that's Mantle, the taxi cab driver's. He says, I know Mantle. He's from my town. And he's a terrible taxi cab driver. Oh, yeah, he's had over a dozen tickets. People are scared to death to ride with him. So how come he got a big mansion, I got this little one? Well, God said, well, that's the point. What do you mean? People were scared to death when he drove. Yeah, you see, when you preach, people slept. When he drove, people prayed. God has a purpose that's more than the eye can see. Well, this message that I'm going to share with you, let me set it up by a message that I heard about 7 years ago by an inspirational speaker. He took out this Chinese characters, two of them, and Wei Ji. And it actually says it means crisis. But as he explained both characters, Wei means danger, Ji is opportunity. And he says, really, in every crisis, there is a imminent danger, but also bundled up incognito is a substantial opportunity. And they both mix together. And I thought, wow, that is so cool. That's really what the Bible teaches us. But then as I studied it, I realized that that wasn't the only translation of that word. It's not the best translation. Oh, it could be, but it really is not an exhaustively linguistic accurate definition. So I thought, well, even though it's linguistically not the best, theologically, it's right on the money. So I thought, I'm going to keep them anyway. And so I want you to know today, we're going to talk about crisis, that in it is imminent danger and also a substantial opportunity. Because in every case, if you look in the Bible, every miracle began with a problem. There is no miracle that didn't have a crisis attached to it. But because in the midst of that crisis, people kept hoping God would come through as healer or redeemer or savior or deliverer, and they would see the glory of God. Each year that comes around, we greet one another by saying, Shin ne nakemashite omedetou gozaimasu, or mega hau olimaka iki ho, or mungi fa choi, or Happy New Year. Now, as we say that, basically what we are inferring is that may you have a crisis-free year. Doesn't that sound nice? I hope my kids don't act up, especially in public, and embarrass me, especially at church. May they not drive me to Kahimohala, to the padded rooms. May my car not break down. I hope my marriage stays really good. I hope money comes in and I keep my job. Well, listen, no one can guarantee that you'll have a crisis-free year. Because who knows what the economy's going to do? Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how God may just bless the socks off of you? Who knows what temptations might come your way? No one knows. But I can guarantee this one thing. And that is this, I can guarantee that every crisis you will face this year will have an opportunity in it to see the glory of God in every case, everyone. And we want to talk about that today, the process and the purpose of God, and see how He comes through each and every time. Now, the story we're going to be coming out of is out of the life of David. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 27 to 29. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. David is going to be involved in a very little known story that not many Christians know about. I'm about to tell you what that is. It was only a span of 1 year and 4 months when this happened. It's not advertised much, but here's what takes place. David is, after having killed Goliath, is now so intimidating to King Saul that King Saul decides to kill him for fear that David may take over the throne. So out of fear, jealousy, and envy, he begins to pursue David to kill him. And this is well known throughout the guards. Even his son Jonathan, who's to take the throne, doesn't want David killed. But King Saul demands that we go after this guy. So he is chasing David, and David is a fleeing fugitive, constantly in flight. But not only David, he's chasing David's entourage of his 30 mighty men, or his warriors, and each of their families. So you're looking at a group of about 200 people that are camping at night, and in the middle of the night, David says, it's time to get up. We've got to move stealthily because Saul is planning to attack us in the morning. We've got to break camp, and we got to get out of here. They do that again and again every 2 or 3 days. If you're a wife trying to raise kids, you get tired of packing up the pots and pans. You get tired of packing up the tables and all the dishcloths and moving it on the mules or donkeys or carrying them. You're tired of this. You do this for a few years. After a while, it's like his wife is saying to David, I want to stop. I'm not running anymore. David says, we have to. If we treasure our children and our future, we've got to run. Well, you keep going like this, and she's just really tired. You can see the fights that are going on, but you can see the fear that remains. Because sooner or later, they will be found. And the sword of Saul will stop the lives of David and his children. Well, David, the only way to get free of this, he has to do something drastic. Next to Israel is the territory of the Philistines. Remember Goliath? He was a Philistine. Well, when he killed Goliath, he actually became a celebrity among the Philistines. Like, this little guy can kill our best warrior? This guy is legendary. Well, David figures that if he defects to the Philistines and lives among the Philistines and promises to help the Philistines in their wars, then Saul will not cross that border. Because as soon as he gets close, it'll be an all-out war and the Philistines will come. So he figures, if I can go in there and live among them and promise to help them, not only will they welcome David, but they will give him sanctuary. So sure enough, the king of the Philistines, his name was Achish. Achish said, man, welcome, come in, David. Not only does he welcome David, he gives David a city for his children, his wife, and his men. That city is called Ziklag. Ziklag. It's all in the Philistine territory. David then goes on minor excursions with the Philistines and deals with their enemies, and his favor increases. People realize what a great warrior he is. Now, about a year and 4 months later, as the children are being raised in Ziklag, they're going to school. It's a wonderful time. David is so loved by the people that pretty soon, sure enough, Saul is getting a little close to the border. So you know what the Philistines decide to do? Let's armor up and go in force against the Israelites. Achish says, David, will you come? Absolutely. David is thinking now maybe a chance to get rid of Saul once and for all. But he himself could not draw a bow on him. He could not throw a lance or a spear because God said to David, you will not touch the Lord's anointed. So he couldn't. But he figured, let's just be a part of a war, and if that takes him down, that might be it. So he and his men sharpen their swords, and they're ready with their gear to go to battle. What is about to happen is what blows my mind. He's ready for the war. Just then the commanders, not King Achish, but his commanders gather around and says, why is David going with us? Well, he's a legendary military hero. Are you kidding? The king says, the commanders say, no, he's not coming with us. If he comes with us, we're not going to fight. What? Yeah, because what if he decides to turn coat on us in the middle of the battle? The king says, he's my right arm. This guy has already pledged his commitment to us. I trust him. Well, we don't. And we're going to ask you to make sure he's disqualified or we're not going. Well, this is going to be told to David and it's going to upset him to no end. That he was demoted, distrusted, and not capable of fighting. He's about to be disqualified. What David doesn't know is that God is looking out for him. God is looking out for him. Because you see, in this battle, Saul will be killed, and so will Jonathan. And if David would have been in that battle, his name, even though he was not the one to draw the arrow and the bow, his name would be forever tarnished that he was in the battle against the Israelites, his own people, where the king and his son, David's best friend, were slain. He would be blamed. God's looking out for David, so he's going to slam the door on David's fingers. We're going to make some resolutions this year because even as God worked with David, he's going to work with us. And sometimes when the door slams, don't be so quick to get upset, bellyache, gossip, bemoan, and grumble because we must make a resolution. And here it is. Would you write it down? Number one, this is better than losing weight. Let me tell you, here it is. Would you write it down? I will look at every adversity and search for God's greater plans. A resolution, because we come so quickly to conclusion. God doesn't like me. Why would God do this? I prayed about this. Why doesn't God let me? This is what I really want to do. Stop. I will look at every adversity and search for God's greater plans because you have no idea what's going on. You might have a process that you're going through in order to get to your expectation. But beyond that, and that's more than the eye can see, God has a purpose for your future, and He's committed to it more than you are. Let's read the scripture here. And David is told he's not coming. He's upset. And here's his reply. Let's read it. Go. David said to Achish, "But what have I done that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" But Achish replied to David, "I know that you're pleasing in my sight." I mean, you're like an angel of God. "Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, 'He must not go up with us to the battle.' Now then, arise early in the morning with the servants of your Lord who have come with you. And as soon as you have arisen early in the morning and have light, depart." David was so upset. He pushed back on this demotion. He was mad. "What is this? I know, but why then can't I go? I've been here. This is what I live for, man. I'm sorry." And he was just upset. You ever hit a roadblock sometime in your life, only later on to find out that that was the best thing that could have happened to you? Did you know that sometimes God answers your prayers by saying no? And He answered your prayer the best way it could. Now, we can cry and get mad, but God is saying no. You just see the process that was painful, but I see a purpose that will have been circumvented, and I'm going to opt for the purpose, even though it's temporarily not fun and uncomfortable. How many times I look back on my life, and I'm so glad God didn't answer my prayers the way I wanted Him to. I remember in high school, there was a cheerleader. Ooh, her name was Cheryl Tyler. Man, she was a babe. Oh, I prayed. I was an altar boy. I knew God would answer my prayers. I prayed, "Oh, God, just make me marry that woman. Oh, man, she's a babe." Well, as things went on, we didn't get married. God didn't answer my prayers. But about 20 years later, we had a high school reunion that I attended, and she was there. And when I saw her, I'm so glad God didn't answer my prayers. And I'm sure she looked at me and said, "Thank God we didn't get married." God sometimes sets up roadblocks because He sees further down the road than you or I ever see. He sees around detours. He sees around corners. Many of you have heard of the Asia plane that just went down just after Christmas. It took off from Indonesia on its way to Singapore. It was to leave at 7:30, but because of some weather conditions, they sent out emails and messages to the passengers that were confirmed that they were leaving at 5:20. Now, 162 people got killed on this flight of just recent date, completely perished in the ocean. They're still finding wreckage. It is a hard thing to bear. 10 people, however, didn't get this email message. It was actually the family of a former beauty queen of Indonesia, 27-year-old woman. She and her husband and two kids, along with her parents and along with their cousins, 10 altogether, were going to board this plane for a family vacation in Singapore. They didn't get the email, so when they arrived at the airport, the agent said the flight has already left. And of course, this woman's husband was angry. "What? Yes, we sent out emails. I didn't get this email. What is this? We come and you switch the plane to an earlier time, 5:20 instead of 7:30. This is crazy." He was upset. He was angry until 42 minutes later, the news came on that said this plane had gone down in the ocean. No survivors. This man's countenance changed from anger to shock and then to grief. And this is what he said. He said to a newscaster, "What I realize is this was our Christmas gift from God to our family, because I know now that it was God's purpose that our family not be on that flight. I didn't see it, but it was a blessing in disguise. You see, even though David was angry, God was looking out for him, and just like he does for you and me. Would you write down in the bullet point there, I won't only look at the process, but I will look for God's purpose. You see, sometimes we want the process to be without flaws, crisis-free, everybody nice, everything fine and smooth. We're more enamored with the process than the purpose, and often we sell our birthright, as it were. We get rid of the purpose. We flounder on the purpose because we just want everything convenient and nice. God is saying, I love you too much. I didn't create you just to be conveniently comfortable the rest of your life. If I did, I'd just put you in a casket long time ago, and you can rest there comfortable and convenient. But we have a purpose to fulfill, and you're not ready for that. And so I'm going to develop things in you. Let's read what takes place as God was on the move during this time. Read it with me, go. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag, the Amalekites had made a raid, overthrown Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. Listen, as he was ready to join the warfare, God saw from a 32,000 foot level that the Amalekites at the same time were about to set a raid on the city of Ziklag. His family, his warrior's family, were about to be taken into slavery and their city and possessions burned. God can see that. So he closes the door and slams it on David's hand. David's mad at God. God says, you have no idea of the purpose that's going on right now. I do. And if you'll trust me and look for my hand and follow me, what would not have been repairable now will be repairable. What would not have been retrievable now is retrievable if you will just follow me. But I want what? That's the process. I'm going to build trust. I'm going to build faith. I'm going to build obedience. So I'm going to slam the door here. You can sit here and cry by the door for 3 days, or you can somehow weasel your way into the warfare. But what you don't know is if you do, what was retrievable in a few days will be irretrievable. What is repairable now in a few days, if you go into war, will be irreparable then. You need to move now. And he used King Achish to say, when morning light comes, what do? Depart. Did you know that God can use even non-Christians to fulfill his purpose in your life? Yes. Psalm 37 says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He doesn't say, I'm going to do it through Christian means. I'm going to do it through any means. And I'm going to order your life. And if you'll trust him, you can drive regret out of your life because God is in control. Now, if you work really hard, you can circumvent God's purpose and settle for a nice process. But you see, when God did that, he knew that Jonathan and Saul will be killed. And if he fought, you would be blamed for their death. At the same time, Amalekites are destroying your city. And if you fight, you'll lose your family and everything else. So I'm going to slam the door here on the process because there's a greater purpose. See, sometimes the process is temporary, but the purpose is going to be eternal. The process is uncomfortable, but the purpose is glorious. The process can bring you to tears, but if you'll understand God's purpose, it'll bring joy that cometh in the morning.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Four Resolutions by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Tomorrow, we'll see how to take every uncertainty and turn it into trust. We hope you'll join us. Now, you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with the click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, his books, music, DVDs, podcasts, and much more. The web address is enewhope.org. That's www.enewhope.org. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.